Good evening. Welcome to this time of worship and praise on this special observance. As we continue on the path our Savior walked down to the cross on Calvary, to the tomb, and then out of the tomb once again. God's blessings on your worship this evening and throughout the rest of this Holy Week as well. We'll begin by singing the first posted hymn. Stay seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in this Lenten season, we have heard again how our Lord walked the path of suffering, which led him to the cross for our salvation. We have also heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil. All that keeps us from loving God and one another. This is the struggle to which we were committed at baptism. God's forgiveness and the power of his Spirit to amend our lives continue with us because of his love for us in Jesus our Savior. Within the family of the church, God never wearies of giving peace and new life. In the absolution, we receive forgiveness as from God himself. We should not doubt this absolution, but firmly believe that our sins are thus forgiven before God in heaven. For it comes to us in the name and by the command of our Lord. We who receive God's love in Jesus Christ are called to love one another, to be servants to each other, as Jesus became our servant. In Holy Communion, first instituted on this night, the members of Christ's body participate most intimately in his love. Remembering our Lord's Last Supper with his disciples, we eat the bread and drink the cup of this meal. Together, we receive the Lord's gift of his body and blood for forgiveness and participate in that new covenant that makes us one with him and one another. The Lord's Supper is the promise of the great banquet we will share with all the faithful when our Lord returns, the joyous culmination of our reconciliation with God and each other. As we begin the solemn celebration of our Lord's Passion, let us confess our sins to him, receive his absolution, and be reconciled to God and each other in Christian love. Please stand as you are able. We confess, Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us, has reconciled us to God, and has promised us the power to forgive and love one another. Relying on his promise, therefore, be reconciled with one another. Brothers and sisters, may the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, in our words, and our actions.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in the sacrament of Holy Communion, you give us your true body and blood as a remembrance of your suffering and death on a cross. Grant us so firmly to believe your words and promise that we may always partake of this sacrament to our eternal good. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. What we will do later this evening is connected to thousands of years of history. We say that Jesus instituted Lord's Supper on that original Thursday evening, as we observe it now, but it was really connected to thousands of previous years of history where God's people were asked, were told to observe that Passover meal. And so one thought we can have as we commune tonight is, this is uniting me with God's people that long ago and until he comes again. We hear the historical account of that Passover in Exodus chapter 12. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning, when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians. He will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.'" Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner, who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continue with Psalm 116.
Breathe the blood of Christ.
Doctrine of Lord's Supper, it's one of those taught by Scripture that defies logic, which is why there are many Christians that don't teach what we call real presence. In our second reading today, I think we have something that clinches it. Paul, in typical Pauline fashion, raises a question, but he knows what the answer that is expected to be given. From 1 Corinthians 10. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And he's expecting yes for an answer. And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? It is. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel lesson. And here we have the historical account, the accurate account of Jesus meeting with his disciples that evening. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asked, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. One who is eating with me." They were saddened. And one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied. "One who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated, and we join in singing, "It Was a Dark and Dismal Night." grace you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for meditation tonight is the traditional psalm for this Thursday evening, Psalm 116, and I will read the first seven verses of that psalm. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. In the name of Christ Jesus, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, dear friends. If I were to ask you, what is your love language? Would you know how to answer that? Do you know what's meant by a love language? I first heard about this concept about 15 years ago. A pastor, fellow pastor, classmate, and friend of mine, we were talking one day in his office about things, and he kind of asked me that same question. I had not heard of this concept before, and then he showed me a book and gave me a book to read. Perhaps you've read it as well. There are, according to the author of this book, who spent many, many years as a marriage counselor, five love languages. Five different ways, primarily, that a person receives love. Now, if you know all about this already, you can see if I'm being accurate here with my summary of the five love languages. Ways that someone receives love, ways that make them feel that they are loved. One is words of affirmation, words of assurance. That's what does it. I need to hear the words. I love you. I really like how you do that. You're so good at that. Thank you for being who you are. Words of affirmation. That's what does it. I feel loved. For someone else, it could be getting presents. You give me a gift, and I just feel loved. For another, it could be something physical. They need their hand held. They need the shoulder rub, the pat on the back, snuggling up. That's what makes them feel loved. For another, it could be acts of service. When you got that project done finally, that made me feel loved. When you voluntarily did that chore that I usually do, that just made me feel loved. And for others, it's spending quality time. It's just being there. It's sitting on the couch and watching a movie, or maybe it's eating together and visiting, taking long walks, just being there together. Quality time. So, if you already know all about this concept, hopefully I got those things right. I personally benefited from this. I read that and I go, that's why she's like that. Why didn't I see this before? And that's why I'm like that. That's why I think I'm showing her love the way she needs it, because that's the way I get it. And that may not be her love language. Now, it doesn't guarantee that all the problems of a marriage are going to go away. And it isn't just meant for marriage either. But I found it helpful. I found it useful. After all, it is important to know that you are loved, especially by someone who is a very important person in your life. It's also very healthy. And in the case of our relationship with our God, it is vital. It means everything. Tonight, we will once again come to know that we are loved. And that this love is forever. It's His love for us. It's our love for Him. And our love for one another. Growing up, this was always Maundy Thursday. Maundy Thursday. I know in some circles it still is called that. In other circles it's called Love Thursday. Maybe I'll explain that in just a second. Here, we've been calling it Holy Thursday. It's Holy Week, so each day of the week is holy. Maundy, it's really only used in connection with Maundy Thursday. I've never heard the word Maundy used in any other setting. It's an ancient word. We just don't use that word anymore. It's actually an English word derived from a French word, which is derived from a Latin word. And being a teacher of Latin for something like 38 years, I can appreciate this. And I hope you will too. And the Latin word basically means command. Because on this night, Jesus said to his disciples, I'm giving you a new command. Love one another. So Maundy Thursday, Command Thursday, Love Thursday. A new command. It begs the question, what was new about this command? I mean, way back in Leviticus already, love your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. It was always there. Love one another. But the new part is probably this. It's most likely this. The original command was shared even on stone with a particular group of people. They were the only ones who were called God's chosen people. Do we need to pay attention to that? Okay. It was a law that was broken countless times, and it was given before Jesus was Jesus. And so now here he was. He had come. He had arrived on the scene to carry out the plan of salvation. And soon he would be leaving them once again. And so the new part of this is, It's all connected to him in the flesh, and it's given to all people. There is no more just one chosen people, a lesson that will be hard for the disciples to learn and many others besides. Anyone who has faith in this Jesus is God's chosen people, the spiritual Israel. Love one another. And Jesus modeled it that night. He modeled it in a variety of ways. It's John who records most of the conversation that evening in that room, where Jesus lovingly prepared his disciples for the days and years to come. In love, he let them know what was going to happen. He was honest with them and told them how hard it would get, but that they would never be alone. He would send a comforter to be with them. He took the time to prep those guys for some of the darkest days of their lives. And then he stooped down and washed their feet, showing his humility. Their teacher on his knees washing their feet, which would have just sent them the message, he loves me. Look what he is doing for me. He modeled it by teaching them what the Passover was really all about and how important it would be from now on in their lives. By letting them know that every one of those thousands and thousands of lambs that ever got slaughtered, every one of those meals was about him. The people of old maybe lost sight of that. It not only was to remind them of the Passover in Egypt and what God did for them there, it was also a foreshadowing of the real Lamb who would free them from the captivity of sin. And Jesus, in love, clearly made that known to his disciples. And when they left that upper room, he showed his love even more as he went to that garden, as he did not resist, as he squelched any attempts at violence by not calling down legions of angels to help him, but willingly allowing himself to be arrested, hauled off, and we'll hear the rest of the story in the days to come. Does that not make you feel loved? That he did that for you and for me? The psalmist felt it. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. It is our sins that cause us anguish, distress, and sorrow. Maybe the psalmist was actually in a situation where his life was being threatened. Maybe this is metaphoric. But he points to the grace and love, the compassion of his God, as do we. Because it is our God through his Son, Jesus, that we know of his compassion, his grace. And this act tonight will once again assure us of that truth. I chose the psalm for the text tonight for a few reasons. One is because it is part of a group of psalms that traditionally were sung by God's people on that evening. Psalms 113 to 118, at least as we call them today, made up a group of hymns that were traditionally sung that night. I wonder if Jesus sang this psalm. Can you imagine that? I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. He turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. I called on the name of the Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. He is full of compassion. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Now, whether he sung this particular psalm or not, Jesus certainly reflected that. He was in anguish. The cords of death did entangle him. He was overcome by distress and sorrow. But he also knew that his Father would not abandon him to the grave. That his Father, though he abandoned him for a time, would one day raise him back to life. He knew that his Father had planned this because of his love for all mankind. Jesus loved his Father. And so do we. We also say with the psalmist, save me. Save me from whatever the anguish is. A setback I didn't see coming. Threats and fears because of the wicked world in which we live. The guilt and shame of a sin that maybe I'm the only one that knows it. I and my God. But it haunts me. It is the devil who wants us to not get over our sins. It is the devil, also called the accuser, that whispers into our ear and says, you'll never get past that one. People are going to find out. Whatever he can do to make us squirm. And like the psalmist, we cry out, save me. And the Lord answers with grace and compassion. And then we can say, return to your rest, my soul, return to your rest. This love we have for our Father is forever. Not because we show it perfectly each and every day, but because it flows from the gospel message that is forever. Back to that command, love one another. This group of men became the greatest witnesses to the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ there's ever been because they were eyewitnesses. They had a huge responsibility, and Jesus knew that, which is why he prepped them for it. And for them to love one another would not only be loud and clear testimony as they witnessed for him. Look at those guys. They get along so well. You can tell they love one another. But it would be helpful to them personally as well. For John to show love to Peter and to Thomas and to Andrew. They were a team. I wonder what their love languages were. Maybe Peter needed to hear words of assurance. Maybe Matthew liked to give gifts. Maybe Thomas needed the physical aspect. The pat on the back. The hand held. The shoulder rub. Maybe Philip got projects done. Maybe Nathaniel was the kind of guy that loved to just be around, spend time with you. They did know this love language, though. They knew the gospel. They knew the message of Jesus' love for them and for all mankind. Tonight, we hear the words given and shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Depart in peace. Tonight there will be the physical aspect. We will eat and drink something that ends up inside our body that lets us know he is with us always. Tonight we receive a gift, the gift of the assurance of forgiveness of sins. Tonight, we will serve one another as we do this together. Or those of us who won't come up here as you witness it. And as you pray for those who come up here. And tonight, And after tonight, we're going to spend quality time together as we carry out our mission together to share the good news of a Savior from sin. Tonight, we know we are loved. You are loved. And always will be. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite you to stand as we join in confessing our faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed, followed by the Lord's Prayer. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lord Jesus, you said to your disciples, "This is how they will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." When we hear those words today, we know how disappointing our efforts have been to love one another, and yet we also know how to love one another, and that is to reflect the love that you have shown to us, to make it personal, to be intentional with our love, and to be forgiving and encouraging as we join together to let others know about your love for them. As we gather together again tonight, please be with us as we seek to come together as one, to remember your great love for us that you showed by shedding your blood and giving your body in death on the cross, and to be reminded that this is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet that all of us will one day enjoy because of the salvation that you won for us. Thank you for hearing and answering all of our prayers in just the right way. And we join together to pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. visitor here this evening, I encourage you to read the statement on page 10 near the bottom underneath the word distribution. Come, for all things are now ready.